Hello everyone, Lord Baldwith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated April 22nd, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldwith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, we have a guest today, Sir Style Teakle. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic, and it's really exciting to be here tonight.
Awesome, awesome. Great to talk to you again. And how's it going with you, Asclepius?
I'm going real well, thanks, Lord Baldwith. Always great to be the weekend, spend a bit of time in-game. Looking forward to the next wipe.
Yay!
Or in some ways, not.
Yeah. I mean,
I was saying in-game to someone just this week, I am really torn because I am so looking forward to the wipe. I'm so looking forward to progress, to getting closer to the final wipe. But I find I'm just at the stage where I can walk through a lot of dangerous areas and flick the mobs aside with hardly a care. I'm getting to quite a powerful level, and it's such a nice place to be.
You haven't had enough time to savor it yet.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I've walked through the dungeons of Ravensmoor and dealt with the Lich down there. I have a throne of bone in my house in Wizard's Rest and another one in Rift's End. I think this is great. What a great life.
Well, it won't be long until there won't be any more wipes, and then we get to get that levels and savor them.
I know. Oh, I'm really looking forward to that bit. When all the wipes go away and all your progress and your development is permanent, that'll be lovely.
I'm looking forward to it.
It almost seems surreal that it's getting close.
Yes, yeah, it does. It does. It'll be an amazing experience when it hits.
It's just that, you know, Shroud of the Avatar has been a part of my life now for so long that it's hard to believe that it's still not a finished game yet. That it's still just a game that we're still testing.
I know. Ooh, we've been looking at 3 years and better, haven't we?
Yeah.
A lot of work goes into making a game, doesn't it?
Wow. Amazing team, though.
Yes. It is an amazing team. Yeah, I'll agree with you 1,000% on that.
These updates that you guys talk about every week, it just absolutely blows me away how much they accomplish, how much they do, and especially from wipe to wipe.
Oh, yeah. They must work such long hours, because look at the amount that they put into each release, and then they scurry around and do patches and patches and patches when people find bugs.
Well, now, you know, my grapevine has told me in the past that Portalarium is actually one of the better places to work in terms of hours. That the people there don't work overtime that often. It does come up, but it's usually, you know, just right after a wipe, right before a wipe, that sort of thing, or you know, when there's issues that people are putting some extra time in to solve because they're pretty major, but that for the most part, on a general basis, they're pretty good about just working normal hours. Not only that, but also within reason and so forth, and what works for the team, working the hours that they want to, going in when they want and leaving what they want, maybe doing split shifts and that sort of thing.
That's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Not only have we got a great team, but they work efficiently, and it sounds like a really happy team, too.
I don't think Star would shoot me for repeating this, but you know, I saw him one time on somewhere where he was posting more privately that he kind of felt bad that day because he had to ask some people to work late, and that he really hated having to do that.
Wow.
Well, that's good. So he tried not to burn people out and let people get all their sleep. That's very important.
Yeah, and I mean, those are just my impressions. Don't take them for fact. Just over time and some of the interactions I've had with the devs and some of the things I've heard and been told and seen here and there, sometimes I think they definitely put in some hours, just like we all have to. I know I have to work a long day this Sunday. But overall, I think they're, especially when compared to other gaming companies, they're pretty fantastic.
Yep.
Awesome. That's great. Well, they've put out another news release with a lot of interesting stuff in it. We have number 173. And we've got armor revamps, Lord of the Manor dinner, Leerstorm's Church, 10-day expiration countdown, and more. Brilliant. Good stuff to talk about. And first item on the agenda is the mail cloth armor revamps. And they look pretty good, don't they?
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of little bags and belts. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Terrific. They really are impressive. I think they did a good job.
They've done a huge job. And this is by Fletcher, Skullmuncher 34, Kinnear. He says, as part of our rework, we're steadily progressing through many of the clothing and armor items to improve their visual quality. So this is awesome. They've moved past the stage now where they're using off-the-shelf stuff that they've got from Unity. Mm-hmm. Now they're working on their own. And that we periodically update the progress of this effort. And he says, this time I worked on the cloth outfits. Here's the epic cloth. Chest piece, gauntlets, leggings, and boots. Yeah, really like them.
Yeah.
I wonder what the hat looks like. I don't see it there.
Yeah, true. Don't see a hat. I wonder if there will be one. Good question.
That's actually my favorite cloth set. The epic one is very nice looking in game. Even the hat is. I even wear that. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, so the epic one, the interesting colors.
I like the blues, they fit with my character, so I like
them. I was looking to see if they're dyeable.
They are, okay. You can completely re-dye them. I've got red on my one guy.
Fantastic,
that's brilliant. And that is lovely, they've introduced that in-game. We're going to see so much variety, and people can tailor their kit and their outfit to match their personality, to match their mood or their feeling or whatever. Yeah, there's going to be so much variety in the game.
I'm actually primping up my garb in real life now at the moment. It's me, my wife, and mom, all three of us have been working on our garb outfits.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. Yep, I just ordered a doublet the other day. Very excited to get it. I've had my eye on it for about 3 years now.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic. And I love the way in the animated picture you can zoom in, have a look at it, turn it around, have a look at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very, very nice. And as you say, there'll be lots of little pouches and things. I wonder if they'll be separate containers that you can just slip reagents into.
Well, that's something they need to add for us mages. We need the ability to carry that stuff without overloading our character.
Yeah, something good, like a reagent pouch, sort of thing.
Yep.
We need that.
Everybody needs somewhere to put their reagents.
And you got to carry a lot of them. I carry 50 of each, and that lasts me, a good outing anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I remember in the Ultima Online days, I would have my reagent pouch on me with. X number of reagents of each type in it, but I had extra reagent pouches, usually masses of them, stored in a house somewhere so that I could quickly jump in and grab a reagent pouch, throw it on me, and go. And I might even have multiple types depending on what I would use more of on the outing I was going on, if you will.
I love that about Ultima Online. You could set up bags for things. I think they're going that way with our game, too. They've started doable.
That's kind of where I was going with that, is I hope we definitely see the ability to do some of that here with the Shroud of the Avatar.
Yeah, that would be great if you could pre-stock a lot of things like that, like your reagents, in a little bag and just rush home,
grab
pick
it and
up
go.
The bag and get out again, yes.
Yeah, we need that.
I haven't tested it yet, but they did say the bags in your inventory are separate and all the stuff in the bag is separate, so it's kind of organized now, but I haven't played with it.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I haven't been in quite a while.
Right.
Well, terrific. Not true. I logged in last night, but it was just to check on the house.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But, look, I think a lot of people are the same. Playing has been slowed down or suspended, mm-hmm. not only is it the week before a wipe, mm-hmm. but people are getting tired of doing the same thing over and over again. I think there's a lot of people out there waiting for permanence and then waiting for launch.
Yeah, I'm definitely, and I think pretty much everyone that knows me knows I'm definitely on the extreme end of being one of those. For me, for some reason, it's not intentional. It's not a choice. I found that playing, knowing there's a wipe, is something I have a very hard time doing. I just don't get into it. Now, I suppose if I was doing it for a job and I was earning an income, or if I was accomplishing something, I could probably enjoy playtesting, but I guess for me it has to feel like there's some sort of something other than just the testing taking place. But the community that we have and the amount of hours they spend to literally just test without anything taking place for them, and doing the same things over and over and over, and how long they've been doing it for, to provide that feedback to Portalarium is simply amazing. And the fact that some people are getting a little burnt out after 3 years does not surprise me.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Totally agree. We have an awesome community, and people who are prepared to invest hundreds of hours of their time doing this, they deserve the best recognition that we can give them. It's great.
Yeah, and as someone that originally at the outset planned on putting more time into the testing than I have, I can really appreciate those that do more of it than I have.
Absolutely. Agreed. Yep. Okay, and then following on, we have the Epic Cloth. The Fortified Cloth. That's it. Nice multicolored thing, isn't it?
Looks like a jester outfit. Cool.
It sort of does, doesn't it? Yeah, we got a yellow leg and a green leg, and green and brown.
I wonder if the jester mask would look good with that. That'd be cool.
I think it probably would. Yeah. Or if you didn't like that, you could dye it.
Mm-hmm. You could.
They look great.
Or a jester's hat.
They don't have a jester's hat, do they?
No, but they need one.
Yes, they do.
We're still waiting on the hat rack to hang up all their hats, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting on Rose, too.
And I'll probably do a jester's hat at some point. I can't imagine with the history of Chuckles the Clown, Chuckles the Jester, that they're not going to have a their hat.
That would be cool. Yeah.
That would be cool. Absolutely.
Well, I'm still waiting for robes too.
Cool. Okay, now next item, we have reconnecting with underground scenes. Right, this is something I don't fully understand, but I'm going to have to get in and look at it. I haven't checked into the QA forum yet, and I probably won't for a little while anyway, because I got a bit of melting down to do. So I'm going to have to do that first.
I hardly touch the forums these days. And honestly, I spent over 2 years immersed in them almost daily. I head over that way to check out certain topics and certain posts and certain things. But for the most part, the news and things in the community are enough these days for me.
Yeah. And you know what? You can sit down at the forum and plan to spend about 5 minutes, but you end up spending half an hour or an hour by the time mm-hmm. you've looked at this and that and something else. So you need to have the time available.
Definitely.
Yeah, I have some off time at work. I can usually get through a lot of it, so I keep up on it myself.
That's great.
I think there's a lot of the important things. Back when I was spending all my time in the forums, I was really one of the main and only news sources. You had, for a while, there were some other ones, like Forsaken Virtues with Lori, but then she stopped doing it. And there was a period of time where I was one of the only ones that was really going into the forums and taking some of that information and shooting it out to the community. And now there's many, 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 many communities that, even if that's not their primary thing, they do a lot of that. And so now, whereas once you had to go into the forums to get your information, I don't think that's necessarily the case any longer, and you can really keep up with things just using community sites these days.
Yeah, it's good.
Your site's really good
about keeping the basics on there. I've looked at it sometimes. I see it. I think it does a good job.
You know, interesting tidbit. I don't know if I should share this. And I don't know if I should be proud of it or ashamed of it. I recently started using a grammar and spelling checker that works as a plugin for Chrome, and then it also works with Microsoft Outlook and Word.
Nice.
And so in Chrome, it's working on my sites, of course, and Facebook and other social sites. And I forget how many users they are, if it's 100,000 or if it's 1 million. I want to say it's 1 million plus, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's 100,000 plus. I don't remember how many zeros was on the number. But I get a report from them every week since I started using their software on my statistics. And the first time I got one, I was kind of blown away. But then I said, well, I was home more this week and so forth. But then they've been pretty much consistently the same week after week. And what they tell me is that in any given week, it spell checks or grammar checks for me over 10,000 words, and that I am above their 90, I'm in their 99.9 plus percentile most active user.
Wow. Well, that's pretty awesome. That's amazing.
So that means I write the equivalent of a novel plus every week. And primarily associated with the blog and my other projects. And that's not including my day job.
Wow.
Like I said, I don't know if I should be ashamed of that or proud of it. I'm not really sure, but it is what it is. I enjoy what I'm doing, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, I think you should be proud of it.
Well, thank you.
People love to go to your site and read all the latest. You always keep, you always plug everybody that deserves plugs. I think it's great.
I try to. I'm sure I miss a lot of good ones.
Well, they probably don't know to reach out to you. I've got an inside source.
And, you know, I'm sure if you hit the site on occasion, you notice I do some other projects now and some other things. You know, I do subscription box reviews. I do some book and movie recommendations and things like that. But you kind of dabble in a little bit here and there. But it's also my hope that a lot of those things, you know, they're very geek-related things that I enjoy, things I'm into. But I'm also hoping to pull some people in those other areas over. Maybe they'll see some of my Shroud of the Avatar pieces. And maybe I'll help bring some people from outside of the community into the community. Because I think as a community, one thing that we do really, really well is communicate to each other. But one thing I don't think we do well as a community is promote outside the community. And I'm hoping that, you know, by doing some other these things, that it may also bring some people into this community that aren't in it already.
Yeah, we definitely need that.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very worthwhile ambition, because it is a little bit of a niche game, I think, for people who are raised on Ultima Online. It's better than the Second Coming, but for people who don't know about it, it might seem a little bit strange, a little bit weird. It's just not quite what they're used to. And really, it just needs to be explained and they need to be introduced to it. And anything that can promote that is awesome.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, that's not the only reason I'm doing those things. It's just it's one of them, if you will. It's hopefully an unexpected benefit is that maybe I'll get some people interested.
Exactly. And look, I just noticed in the forum this week, and I'm not tooting my own horn by any means, but somebody put up a little post saying that, you know, he played Shroud a little bit. He was basically waiting for release pretty much. But he was also a moderator of a Steam group that had about 6,000 followers. And he just wanted to write a little outline or a little review of Shroud. And he wasn't much good at writing it. Would someone be able to do it in a few words? So, yeah, well, okay, why not? Couldn't be that terrible or that hard. So I just put up a little piece. I don't know if he'll even use it. I don't know if it'll be good. But hey, if it gets a dozen or so people interested and a few more people in the game, everything, every little bit's worthwhile.
You never know what will happen from something like that. You never know what will explode and what will be big. And that's the biggest lesson that I've learned over the last 3 years and all the projects that I've done, is it's a numbers game. Something's going to work, and the more you do like that, the more things will happen, and you'll be surprised. If that one doesn't, the next time you see something similar and you toss up another note, then that one will.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Some things could sink without trace.
Yeah.
That's okay. But as you say, you never know when something will come good, and it actually does some good for people and for the game. So that's great.
It is.
Okay, next item, reconnecting with underground scenes. Yeah, okay, this sounds interesting. I'm going to have to go and look at this because I'm really not 1,000% sure what they're talking about. But every so often, Shroud adds a new underground area to visit. We got a dungeon, sewer, da-da-da-da-da-da. They've mostly been standalone, seemingly filled with random resources and randomly connected to other underground scenes.
Yeah, this definitely has some technical aspects to it.
Oh, yeah. As of this release, the randomness starts to go away. They're embracing a grand underground plan. So, the core elements are traveling within underground sectors. All shared general-purpose underground areas will be grouped in small sectors. So, many underground sectors areas within a sector will connect other areas within the same sector. Travel across these connections is free and uninhibited. So you've got a group of little areas all connected together and you can just wander back and forth. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy. If you want to travel across sectors, there will be connection passages. They are rare. They're always behind a locked door. And you can only open them by a key obtained from a single key bearer somewhere in the scene. You have to find the guy who's got the key. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to spawn in a different place every time. And currently the keys are reusable, but eventually they'll be single use. So that'll also be fun. And there will be passages from one sector to another. They will be underground scenes all of their own. Although moderately sized, each will have a bounty of resources. That's nice. So we'll be able to go down there and get all these good stuff that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving towards smarter resources. Distribution of harvestable resource is important. What is common in some regions will be rare in others. It's true for both surface and underground areas.
I'm sure we're going to start seeing a lot more focus than we ever have on the economy aspect. Get closer and closer to that last wipe.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we're going to find that we'll have to get to know, where do you go for iron ore? Where do you go for silver? Where do you go for copper? They'll be in different places, but where they are, they'll be rich. So that'll be good.
Definitely.
Just grab it when you see it, I guess, and fill your chest up. That's what I always do.
Yeah, but you're a pack rat.
Well, I know. Yeah.
Hey, and reading... Oh, I hope it's not giving too much away, but reading the notes in the Dev Plus release and for the QA thing, they're at last finding a use for gold, and that's so good to see.
Hallelujah.
Yay. Awesome. So, yes, apparently once you've crafted a weapon... There will be a little tool that you can engrave on it and improve its quality. And there are risks involved. So, yes, more coming next week.
That sounds good.
Brilliant. Okay, some changes related to the underground areas coming. Release 29. There will be two cross-sector connection passages being added. We got Spindrift Passage and Paladus Passage. And there'll be more such passages. Okay. So the Rise has moved to its permanent home under the Forsaken Vale in Verdantis. Its temporary connections to the Western Nubia underground scenes have been replaced with access points in Superstition Canyon, North Varicella Foothills, Verdantis Mines, and Resolute Sewers. So I'm guessing you can't get to the Rise anymore from... Soul Town and places like that.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. You probably got to fight your way to it, don't you?
I guess so, yeah. And underground resources have shifted a bit as we improve where resources can be found. The only way to sort this out is to go down and have a look, I think. And that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, I find I die a lot in these dungeon areas. There's not a lot of room to run and hide for us wimpy guys.
Oh, yeah. I spent an awful lot of time dead in the Rise. That's a scary, scary place.
I know they keep nerfing my ice magic, so, you know, I can't find a way to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to nerf air magic, too. And I think that's pretty tough.
Yeah, that's disappointing, too.
Yeah, I was noticing the other day, I've got Discharge to the point where if I cast it, it has a 101.5% chance to stun for 8.7 seconds.
Hey, that's great.
So I just throw that. Everybody stands still for a while.
Well, what's wrong with that? That's what you need.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think it should be left well alone.
Well, I liked my 100-and-so-odd% slowing that they took away from me. So, yeah, I feel the pain.
Yes. So, yeah, it'll probably go back to some more realistic number, which is going to make me cry. But, yeah, that's what you get.
You just can't win. You finally find something that works, and they change it. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Oh, dear. So, yeah, we got some screenshots here of Spindrift Passage. Tracks underneath Spindrift Bay. Oh, very nice.
It looks cool, though. I like the elemental hiding in there.
Yes, and Paladus Passage. Looks as if there might be an Earth Elemental there just waiting to hit up on you.
Yep.
Very nice. Okay, and now we have some more teasing on the Halls of Artifice from Scotty. Oh, boy. Yeah, it can't be all good, can it?
No.
No. He says, wait, what is this? Having delved even further into Artifice, sampled several other somewhat more heinous paradises and the denizens that seem to enjoy them, proceeding through yet another golden doorway has caused you to materialize within a cobweb-covered dungeon corridor filled with the strewn bones of seemingly hundreds of poor lost souls. There has to have been a trick, didn't there?
Wouldn't be bones if it was all good and pretty.
That's right. Oh boy. The architecture here is confusingly reminiscent of so many of the ancient stone passageways that litter the underworld of the realms of Novia. And as you wander through them, you realize that every turn and twist feels like the last, and yet seems to lead to more and more such paths winding away in every direction like some labyrinthine hell. Take a cut lunch and a water bag. You will be a while.
Yeah, I can picture them putting ghosts and all kind of stuff like that in there.
Oh, yeah. The only lights here, except perhaps your own, are torches emitting pale blue flames. The ever-present profusion of even more golden doorways now seem to taunt you, taking you to places you may not wish to go. Bloody hell. As if to add to the confusion, tarnished mirrors that provide little in the way of reflection hang forlornly on the walls at every turn. Soon you begin to realize how many could have come here to die alone in the perpetual twilight of this haunted palace. So, yeah, come, enjoy yourself. Feast on every delicacy imaginable. Partake of all the riches. And then you can die.
Nice.
Oh, lovely. Gee, that looks suitably gloomy, doesn't it?
Yep, I knew there was a catch to all that beautiful treasure that was sitting in those rooms.
Yeah.
You can't get it for free, that just wouldn't be right.
No. It wouldn't be, no.
I still think once you get a pocket full, it's all just kind of disappear.
I'll bet. Or there'll be a checkout guy at the door to take it off you.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, wow. Just as it seems this torture might never end, you suddenly find yourself back again in a place of relative comfort and refinement. What was that terrible maze? Was it someone's twisted paradise? Surely not. Why would such a thing exist in the glorious halls of Artifice? Because our devs are sick and twisted. That's why.
Yep.
Maybe it was just a fevered waking nightmare after all. Maybe the result of too much euphoria in so little time. But what does time mean in a place such as Artifice? Along the periphery of the comfortable chamber before you, chairs are arrayed around small tables, a few books on small shelves, and here and there a few bowls of fruit tempt the observer to come, sit, and rest. At the room center, beneath a recessed ceiling lit by an ornate chandelier, is a desk littered with books, scrolls, and an inkwell. Beyond the desk, another set of bronze doors lay closed before you, but no locks seem to bar your way. Here, you'll be greeted by a functionary of this mystic place, and an apparent servant of he who occupies the royal hall beyond those waiting doors. Okay, I wonder if he's the one who takes all your money.
Yeah.
Okay, scary, scary. As you enter the lavish throne room beyond, immediately you realize something's wrong. Debris from the ceiling above litters the floor. Several of the great columns which support that ceiling have fallen to ruin, and cobwebs formed by years of neglect cover almost every surface, creating the look of aged veils that drape the stained glass windows like ghastly shrouds. At the far end of the hall, a figure sits on a regal throne, ancient rot having left nothing behind of him except his very bones. Ouch. This grand hall was meant to house hundreds of members of this apparent monarch's court, yet he sits alone, contemplating the crown that lays on a footstool before him, his empty sockets gazing out at you at your approach. Oh, that's morbid.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Regardless of anything else that might transpire in this chamber, you could wonder if this is what becomes of someone's personal paradise when life has passed you by. Here, this once mighty ruler sits, ruminating on the culmination of his reign and the meaning of such power for all time, while the remains of his grand accomplishment rots and crumbles around him. Behind him, at the top of a small flight of stairs, yet another set of doors await. And beyond them, yet another golden portal beckons, always beckons, as you travel deeper and deeper into this place of eternal desires fulfilled. Oh yes, glorious artifice, why would you ever want to leave? Yeah, well, he didn't, did he?
No, he didn't.
There's going to be a huge story here. I really can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to see.
Oh, yeah. I explored a little while ago. I managed to get to the front door of Artifice, but of course couldn't get in. But yeah, an amazing place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love the furnishings and stuff they've got in there. It's just great.
Wow. And having been to, as I say, the front door of this and looked through Skrek, the in-game visuals are every bit as good as the screenshots they're showing us.
Yeah, that's cool then.
So, it's going to be awesome to see. Okay, next we have Richard Garriott in Streets by Vice. Austin, 6th Street. Oh, nice.
This one surprises me. Because I didn't know about it until this update. What's that about?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it missed my radar. You know, I've been told by more than one developer, on different occasions that I seem to sometimes know about things that they don't know about. But somehow, this is the first I'm hearing this.
It's amazing what's
happening. I'm slipping.
Yeah, you're too busy.
I can't. Well. It's something I'm going to have to look at. That'll be great. He's got a brief segment in this Vice video about Austin. He talks about how Origin's first artists were actually rock and roll poster artists from the Armadillo World Headquarters. And Shroud even gets shown. Look at that. Richard's segment is at 6 minutes 40. So, everybody, get into that. That's going to be amazing.
A little publicity there. That's good stuff.
It is. Look, every bit of publicity is great. And the final Lord of the Manor dinner and tour. Lovely. on Friday, April 15th, had the final Lord of the Manor dinner and tour of Britannia Manor in New York. Lord and Lady British, aka Richard and Letitia Garriott de Caillou, along with Regent Darkstar, aka Star Long, hosted 8 Lords of the Manor, along with 2 of their guests, for a night of feasting, revelry, and, of course, touring through the assorted curiosities and marvels the Lord and Lady British have collected. Now, wouldn't that be an awesome experience?
It is.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go to this one, you know, because I have been to one of the Lord of the Manor dinners. And I did get an invite, but I just didn't have the vacation time or money to travel or, time, really. So fast this time. Oh, I really wanted to go.
Oh, that's tough. That's so tough.
It's not close for me at all. So it's about a 12-hour drive. There's just no way to do it without taking time off of work, and vacation time is something I have nothing of right now. So.
Sure. Yes. Well, I only had 2 small impediments to going. One, I didn't actually get an invite, not being a Lord of the Manor,
sure. So
can't complain about that. And the other, the airfare and time involved would have been humongous.
Yes, it would have.
Yes.
Definitely.
So, yeah, but hey.
I think I could be wrong, but I believe this is the largest one they had out of all of them as far as the turnout.
Really? Well, it looks like a great group there.
Yeah, I think most of them were a little bit smaller.
Wow. Okay. But
wrong, though, because I think I also missed one somewhere along the way, because I believe there were supposed to be 4 of them. So unless for some reason they ended up only doing 3 of them, there might be one I'm not aware of.
Okay, fair enough. But they had a chance to look at meteorites, automatons, suits of armor, swords, spacesuits, fossils, vampire hunting kits, mummified hands, Fiji mermaids, quack medical devices from the Victorian age, and on and on. Brilliant. And there we have the group amassed before dinner. I think his kids look cute.
Yeah, they're growing up, aren't they?
They sure are. And he's describing how he discovered the unmarked cell area beneath the street during renovations. It's now the dungeon or the wine cellar.
It's a vault. It's a street vault.
Brilliant.
Underneath the sidewalk, and where his hand's pointing now, I believe, is where you can go over. And you can look up, and you're looking up through a grate in like the sidewalk above.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Yes, there they are in front of the History of the Universe display cabinet. There'd be some awesome stuff in there.
I was there. I took my mom as my plus one, and we were in front of that cabinet there, and actually he was standing just about where he is in that photo, and he had in his hands 3 different meteorites, one from Mars, one from Mercury, and one from the moon, and he was trying to reach for the door on the other cabinet to grab something, and he was trying to find somewhere to put the meteorites. So he turns and hands all 3 of them to my mom and turns back around to the cabinet. You should have seen the look on my mom's face.
Oh, what an experience.
That's pretty neat, actually.
I love the look in the next shot. Guy in the throne's got such a wonderful expression.
It looks like he's being stabbed.
Yes. It says, sit on the throne, they said. No one will stab you, they said. Oh, what a lot of fun. And then he's describing the ancient weapons and sitting down to have what looks like a pretty awesome dinner. Fantastic.
Yeah, they do spread it out nicely there.
Ah, wonderful. Okay, and I think it's safe to say a wonderful time was had by all.
For sure.
Okay, and now look at this lovely item. Next item, Leo Storm's Church of the Dark Star. That is an absolutely brilliant construction.
Yeah, awesome work.
Yeah. I actually went to that, to visit that during the first service.
Nice.
That Amber took in it. It is brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah. Is it fully closed in, like a room?
It is. It has a roof.
Nice.
And it's totally constructed out of granite blocks. I believe it took 25,000 granite.
Wowzers. That's a lot of granite.
That surely is. I mean, it used to irritate me because I had no use for the stuff. And every time you mine an ore node, you get two granite blocks. I said, yeah, thanks very much. I don't want them. But
I was... I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I was going to say, I'm from Catskill Shard myself from Ultima Online.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Yeah. And, well, here it says, the original church existed on the Catskill Shard, so you would have been aware of it.
You know, it was a lot of people on that shard, and it amazes me to this day. I ran a guild on Catskills that was, for a couple of years at least, in the top 10 on the server for most number of players and most number of other field affiliation, guild affiliations. But to this day, I constantly see people and hear stories and things that took place on Catskills that I have no knowledge of. And I was on there for a pretty decent period, 5 to 7 years or something like that. But I think a lot of it is when you think about it, it's been, I think, 17 years now, maybe it's 18 years now. That's a long time and many hundreds of thousands of people. And it really was a big world.
Yes. Yeah,
it would have been. And you know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if Shroud got as big as that and lasted as long?
It's got the potential. I mean, all the features are there. People could really fall in love with this game, you know?
Oh, I hope so. I miss having an online game that was a second home in another world.
And that is exactly what Shroud is going to be.
I think
once it takes off and once it becomes more widely known, it could well surpass the success of Ultima Online.
And I mean, that's why people still play online Ultima Online today. It's not the game, it's the community, it's the people and the associations. And it really is. It becomes, if the game is done right, you know, a good sandbox instead of theme park with, the tools there to, the kind of tools we're seeing for Shroud of the Avatar and the kind of tools that Ultima Online has, and a good community, then it really does become a home in another world, a home away from your home. A place that, you just get away for a while. Without those big plane flights you mentioned earlier.
That's for sure. Yes. We're seeing that already in Shroud of the Avatar. The community is such an awesome group, an awesome collection of people. They do so much for and with each other. So, yeah, I think all the indications are that it will be exactly that.
Yeah, I see it coming too. I think it's got a lot more tools than Ultima Online ever had, and it's the housing and everything's a lot better too in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I think it's just going to get better and better.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But the little blurb that goes along with this, it existed on the Catskills Shard, serving to bring awareness to the greatness of Blackthorn and what he had to offer us. And this is a post by Amber Rain. September 28, 2014, the Church of the Dark Star, a church founded on the principles of chaos, opened its door to avatars of Shroud of the Avatar in Veilmark, because Paxlayer had taken up residence there. Right, the topics discussed within the walls each Saturday have covered various topics that would help enlighten avatars, no matter what side of the rift they found themselves currently on. In each topic, High Priestess of Chaos Amber Rain would deliver a connection between how the Founding Father of this path set out upon them and how our current lives can benefit from such. And actually, her talks are really good. They're really helpful. Topics ranging from putting your past behind you to looking into the future, from change being a positive to keeping the hope that all things are possible, no matter what they are. Church of the Dark Star has been there to help guide and support our fellow avatars. In November 2014, Kazen Phoenixfire joined the church and our focus became that of equality. It was a pivotal point in the life of the church. As we began to focus on all paths, chaos, order, balance, whether you followed a virtuous path or a more questionable one, all were welcome and all were spoken and appreciated. When we can all come together in one place, even for an hour a week, it is proof that anything and everything is possible. Today, almost a year and a half later, the church now sees buildings flourishing in a multitude of different player-owned towns in its name. From Paxley, where the main base shall always be, to Barron's Reach and eight other towns in between. The most recent church of the Dark Star was created by Leo Storm in Port Phoenix and is made entirely of stone building blocks. It took almost 2.5 months to complete. And from Leo Storm's post, we have, as some may know, I previously built a church for Amber Rain and Roth Phoenix to host their weekly service at, while I finally finished my second, just in time before Wipe. That is what I call dedication.
Yes.
I mean, you take 2.5 months to build something, mm-hmm. It sits there for 2 weeks, and then it gets wiped. Boy.
Take a lot of pictures. That is sad.
Oh, yeah. In total, it took around 25K granite to craft the blocks needed and 5 add-on store sets. I'd like to thank everyone that helped support and donate granite to the cause. It was a lot of work to get it all to match up, but it was fun and worth it in the end. I learned a lot in the process. Get this. In which the next one I can make even bigger.
Nice.
Anyway, pics. And I tell you what, the real thing, it looks just as good as these pictures. It mm-hmm. is. It is a magnificent place. It feels just like a little medieval chapel.
Great.
It's beautiful. I mean, look at the design of the rocks. I mean, even put designs in the wall. It's just awesome.
It is great. And again, it just shouts out loud and clear. We have an awesome community, and this game is going to survive for years and years and years. Even if there was nothing in the game, even if there was no story, which there is going to be, it's going to be a great place to come and be and have an alternative home, as you were saying, Style.
Yeah. A sandbox game is capable of so much.
It absolutely is. Okay, and these look pretty good. We got new home decorations.
Oh boy.
Lord Baldrick, you are in trouble officially.
Yes, I am. For sure. I've been asking for couches and chairs, and this is great. This is awesome.
That actually looks really, really nice. I mean, red velvet lounge and chair and a footstool. What more could you want for your residence?
Yep, I will definitely be grabbing some of those. That is cool.
Oh, and some beautiful little decorative pot plants to put by your front door. Now, you couldn't ask for more than that. And then the add-on store.
Do you think our avatar will sit in that chair and put his feet up on that little, what's that thing called?
A footstool?
Yeah, ottoman?
I think so.
Yeah, ottoman, yeah.
That'd be cool, you know, if you lean back like that.
I would love to have that emote. That'd be great.
I'd love that too, yeah.
Yeah. Or even modify the sitting emote so that if you're sitting in that chair with the little footstool or ottoman there, he puts his feet up on it. That'd be lovely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because they sit kind of rigid. I want him to lean back in the chair, so that'd be cool if they'd do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And now all we need is a television on the wall.
Yeah.
Or a fish tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yes. I mean, we've got ether amplifiers. Yeah.
Sure.
Find a way to
work. We can have technology. Surely. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
I better not throw out a name. I know someone that has thought about or attempted or investigated writing some code that would allow them to do a similar thing with the amplifier. But sort of a movie theater screen.
Oh, that'd be cool. I hope they put that together. That'd be great.
And it would allow for, kind of the same thing that the radio does, but instead of, maybe YouTube or something like that.
Ah, that would be awesome. Yes. So you would effectively project it onto a wall. And
right.
You could watch a video.
Somebody that has some cylinders in game for that, maybe?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they were working on the side of it that would, you know, actually perform everything. And then as far as what the object was, they figured someone else could do. I don't know what happened with that, though. I don't know if they decided it was more than they wanted to mess with or could do, or if they're still working on it or what have you.
Right. It'd be great for, like, making a play into a movie or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and well, the idea there was that they could take and, you know, make content for the game that you could then watch in the game. Not so much watching, you know, just regular stuff, but more the idea kind of being like what a lot of the Avatars radio does, but making content for the game, playing the music that the people, you know, or the community makes, airing the fan fiction that, you know, like you guys make, and that sort of thing, but the video side of that, fan videos and guides and...
Like kind of what Wombie's been doing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, that sort of thing. But being able to have like a channel somewhere, maybe it's a playlist on YouTube, or maybe it's set up on a website, you know, where and what, I don't think they really delved into that too much, but more of the general gist of being able to pull a channel in from somewhere that would have that kind of content you could air in the game, the device.
That's very nice, yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not sure what happened with it, though. So
that's a pretty big endeavor. Maybe they're still working on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll follow up with them next time I talk to them.
Yeah. Right. Okay, and now we move towards the mundane and sort of usual stuff at the end of the news. A reminder, time is running out, people. There is a 10-day countdown. So there's bad news and there's good news. A lot of the pledges that are currently available are being discontinued, because they need to know how many lots they need to provide for the launch of the game. So as of May the 2nd, you won't be able to get an Immortal Adventurer, Virtual Collector, Collector, Citizen, Knight, Lord, or Baron pledge for any money. They won't be on sale anymore. But the good news is if you spend any money on almost anything between now and the 2nd of May, you automatically get a 15% bonus in store credit. So you've got even more money to spend on things. And that's good news.
It is. And plus we've got some ability to melt coming up, right?
Yes. Yes, that is absolutely right. So apparently three separate occasions happening next week. If you need to melt stuff down, if you decide, yeah, not actually using that very much. Mm-hmm. I think I'll put the money towards something else. Just go to your account, turn it into store credits, and then you have those available to put towards something else, which is awesome.
Yep, that's good stuff. It's a good time to like grab the next level up on something if you can melt down enough. That's what I'm planning on doing.
That's right. And the only caveat is, the only word of warning, well, they usually say this, you should do that before you log into the game. Because normally, once you log into the game, your things are regarded.
Claimed.
Yeah.
You want to do that before you log in the first time, definitely.
Absolutely. So, the first stop, if you want to do any melting down, is your account, the add-on store. Do your business, make sure you're happy with it, and then log into the game.
Yep.
Okay, in-game community events, of which there are always such a lot. Again, we can't say it often enough, it's an amazing community. We have recurring events. Okay, April is Adopt a Greyhound month, so Celine Noctua is sponsoring a Greyhound screenshot contest. If you have any little Greyhounds and you want to do a screenshot, take one and send them in. So that's awesome. The RPOTA monthly $170 writing contest. That is brilliant. They are producing such good stuff out of there. A fantastic site. And from a personal and selfish point of view, it's providing some wonderful material for us to podcast. So get into that.
Yes, I've got other endeavors myself with them, and that I do with them, and it's a great community, and they're really very willing to help out if they can.
Oh, perfect. And they're branching out into so many areas, like the SOTA help, the hospitalers. Yeah.
They are actually a sponsor of the Caverns, and so they help keep the bills on for our hosting for shows such as this.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. What a place. That's awesome. Okay, so anybody who has any spark of creativity in them, get over to RPOTA. They'd love to see you. Okay, The Unreliable Travel Guide. I always get a laugh by reading those. Nice. They are brilliant. Wombi and Byron do such a great job.
I would really like to see the whole thing all up on a website somewhere someday, laid out with nice artwork and just illustrations to go along with some things, and just be able to go through the whole series in like chapter formats or something, or maybe like a PDF or something.
Now that would be good, because as each new release comes out, the previous lot tend to get buried, don't they?
Yes, and I would like to see a collection somewhere.
Awesome idea. That's great. Another project for you.
Yeah. There's a reason I haven't suggested that I put up a website for doing that. PDF format actually might be really good, because that way it's almost like having them all in a book.
Yes, it is. That's absolutely.
Well, maybe somebody could do that for you. Do you think Wombi's good with websites or anybody like that?
Good question.
Maybe not.
No one that I know that would have the time or interest.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's good at design either. I can't. Yeah. I'm lucky to do what I do.
Yeah. It all takes time, doesn't it?
And it all comes down to time.
Yeah, okay. Right, Avatars Radio, yes, love them. And best and brightest radio station around, awesome DJs. And they broadcast our stuff, so they must be good.
Exactly.
That's right. We're biased, aren't we?
You know, speaking of projects and broadcasting our stuff, I do plan on sometime soon adding things from the Caverns to Google Play.
Oh, very nice.
We have the ability to do that with the software we're already using. It was just added recently, and I work on setting that up.
Very good.
So everyone listening, keep your eyes open for an announcement at that in some point in the future. It may be a few weeks.
Fantastic. So how does that affect us? Anybody? Does that make us more accessible?
Yes, just kind of like iTunes. It's a similar thing, but Google does it. So basically, just like now, everything that you're doing goes out on iTunes, and iTunes subscribers can choose to podcast on that on their phones and be notified when there's new episodes or so forth. It will go out on Google Play, which is like iTunes in that it distributes media in all its formats for you to view on your apps, whatever they are and whatever they are. So once it's set up on Google Play, you can subscribe to it on that on your phone, your tablet, or you could even pull it up on your TV.
Oh, fantastic. So you're capturing the Android market as well?
Yes, basically, yeah.
Perfect. Oh,
so, and I do know some people in the community that follow some of the Caverns stuff and that are big fans of Google Play. So I'm sure that there's going to be some of our listeners that are probably going to be very happy with that addition once I get it in place.
Oh, thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really believe in letting people, there's so many ways to get stuff out there, and everyone has their favorite, and I'm really big on believing in letting people get things the way they like to get it. I like to get things by email, and I get irritated when I go out to a website that's a blog, and it has 15 social sites you can go to, but no email subscription. So I try not to ever be that guy when I admin a website. I give you every option I can.
That's fantastic. And again, that involves a lot of work, and hey, I appreciate.
Oh, that's not too bad, actually. That one won't be too bad.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome, though.
Hey, we are in danger of being internationally famous.
Really?
Okay. All right, NBNN Lunch with Jack and Laz, weekdays 12 o'clock.
We'll need to start charging admission, or membership or something. I don't know what the right term would be there.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, NBNN every weekday for lunch with Laz and Jack. They cover the daily goings-on, calendar updates, relevant issues, brilliant. So tune in to them, their daily news broadcast, brilliant. We have the Tavern Respite RP event every Monday at 8 p.m. An Order of Vengeance Guild meeting every 9 p.m. at Monday. Challenge Dungeon Run Monday, Wednesday and Friday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. I haven't been through there in a long, 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 long time. But it's probably even worse than I remember it.
Yeah, it's an ugly run now, if it's that one I've been to.
Ooh. Yeah. The Paxlea Town Manager Hour, Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. An EVL Monster Mash Dungeon Crawl, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And there are some evil monsters down in the dungeons. I told you, didn't I, the, down at the bottom of the rise, there's a dragon. So, if you feel like going and doing a bit of dragon slaying, just go down there.
There you go.
That's an easy way to die, man.
Oh, yeah. He only has about 13,000 hit points.
And probably one-shot you and stuff like that.
That's a piece of cake for you, Lord Baldur.
Yeah, my 400 and something hit points will really last.
And I was actually bemused when I was running around the rise. I did it more successfully with two other people, so that was okay. But even so, there are probably hidden doors and passages that we couldn't find. And there's a bridge that crosses a very, very large open area. The only way I could see to get down to the bottom was to jump off the bridge. Now, maybe if you're a grandmaster in safe fall, you might survive. But of course, we didn't. You don't. But there's an ankh just nearby. So you jump off the bridge, die, run to the ankh, get resurrected, and you're down the bottom where the dragon is. So you can die again.
Yeah, that sounds like a waste of time to me. You're jumping down to a dragon. That's weird.
Yeah. Although, through a little door in the side of the wall there, you can sort of run past the dragon. You don't have to fight him. There's an opening and there's some tunnels down there, which are really good for gems. I got all my citron gems down there.
Hey, is that dragon sitting on a big pile of gems like the dragon in The Hobbit? They do that kind of stuff?
No. No. Once you kill him, the loot isn't worth your time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bad news. Awesome experience, but you didn't get much loot out of it.
You've already ruined your armor.
Of course, you know, speaking of loot, have we heard anything in a while on the plans that were talked about once upon a time, a long time ago, in regards to, you know, crafted loot by players making its way back into the monster loot pools and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm sure that's something that'll come once we get persistence. I think they are setting up for it.
I just didn't know if it had been mentioned in a while.
Right. It hasn't been mentioned in a while. I haven't heard anything about it, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was mentioned. Yeah, look, maybe. I think Lord Balrith may well be right. Probably is. Once we get persistence, you can make something, sell it to a blacksmith or whatever, NPC, and it will eventually find its way back into the pool. And yeah, somebody else might find it.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that might be why that dragon didn't have a lot of loot, is if because they're kind of leaving some space in there, that they kind of have some plans for that already in mind, where they're kind of keeping those loot levels low, with differences being made up by some of that player made accumulation.
I think that's a very good point. I think you're more than likely spot on there. That all of this stuff is probably placeholder, and
right,
we're going to fill it up later as we get closer and closer to persistence and launch. Yeah,
I wonder if they have any plans to put things like a lot deed on a dragon or something like that, you know, a random chance, that kind of thing.
Hey, wouldn't that be awesome?
You know, epic rares and unique sort of thing. Yeah, you know, it's really something I hope we do see.
It'd make it all more worthwhile, you know, go out and kill a dragon, you know. Otherwise, it's like you feel like you've wasted your time.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's one thing for the experience and for bragging rights, even though it probably does take 10 people to do it. But yeah, if you had the chance to get an incredible rare item or something really valuable, that'd be good.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Plus, you know, I always like to see ways to give people housing, you know. I think it's cool. So you don't have to feel like you're buying everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true, true. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, well, carrying on. We've got a Virtue League PvP tournament, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And if you're not very used to PvP, well, they've got a junior division. So that's great. And we got Striker Sparhawks Happy Hour Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Very nice. Phoenix Republic PvE nights, Thursdays and Fridays at 7. The Nervian Academy Roleplay courses, Fridays at 4 p.m. Shardfall Madness, Fridays at 6 p.m. And astronomy events, Fridays at 7:30. Brilliant. And that's what's happening all the time.
Great.
Fantastic.
And as it comes to the weekend, so as the weekend rolls around, people have got a bit more time to spend in the game. We've got the PvE night, 7 p.m. on Friday, for to training up combatants. Contact Kazen or Malakas for more info. 7 o'clock, there's Vengeance Madness PvP. 7:30, Friday Night Astronomy. And 10 o'clock, Longfall's R28 End of the World Party, Falling for Doc. This sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Saturday, April 23, 6 a.m, Wake Up New Britannia with Waftem and Celine. Awesome DJs. 9 a.m, Paxley Working Hours. 11 a.m, Church of the Dark Star Saturday Service. And 2 p.m, the Baron League Construction, Harvest and Craft. 4 p.m, the Bear Tavern 3rd Anniversary Party. The Bear Tavern's been going for 3 years.
Wow.
Boy, okay.
I remember back in the early days, you know, fairly soon after Charter, working with Valis and doing blog pieces and stuff for him, trying to help promote the Bear Tavern. Been around for a long, long time.
Yes, it reinforces again how much time and effort everybody's been putting in, how long this community's been going, how it's been growing. So yeah, we're getting a great community here. We have social nights at Port Phoenix at 6 p.m. and at 9 p.m, podcast and poetry from the caverns on Avatars Radio.
Yeah, we've made the update page, isn't that cool?
That is super cool.
Again.
Yes. So yeah, the regular newscast and a random assortment of our podcasts, which is lovely. Okay, Sunday, 8:30, a Paxlair meeting. 11 o'clock, Hospitaller Weekly Voice meeting. That's a great endeavor. 2:30, training in Gust Ball. 3 o'clock, Gust Ball itself, have a match. 5 o'clock, Gridiron Feast and Registration. 5:30, Gladiators Gridiron at the BMC. 5:30, EVL Team versus Team Tournament. Forming a team of 3. Lovely. And 7 o'clock, a Paxlair meeting. And finishing off the weekend, 8 o'clock, Fishing with Winfield. And that is the end of the weekend.
All right.
Brilliant.
Wow, stuff. Wowie.
Yay. Upcoming events. The upcoming events are getting fewer, so we must be getting closer to launch. Release 29 on the 28th of April, which is, what, 4 or 5 days away? Exciting. Except we all get to start again. With nothing.
And you gotta reset the town up too. That's always a joy.
Yeah, that's what I hate is, you know, it's not like I can decide. Well, I could, and I'm sure people would forgive me. But I try as quickly as possible to get the home from work and get the town taken care of and get people situated, even if I'm not interested in jumping in right away, because others may be.
Yeah, people want their house, you know, so you're kind of got to get her done.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't it be great to be doing it for the last time?
Oh, oh yes.
Yes.
I've never, excuse me one sec. Off? I've never not gotten there yet right after work, so if I can do it this last time, then I'll have a perfect record.
Oh, good on you. Well done, sir. Okay, the final Duke Roundtable and Portalarium Office Tour is on the 13th of May. Release 30 is the 26th of May. The Hearth of Britannia Legends of the Hearth 3 is on 1st of June. 30th of June, we have Release 31, and the 28th of July, the magical Release 32.
Yay!
Awesome. Okay, and we keep saying it, but they would really like it. They will be shipping all the physical rewards later this year. And if you look at your account profile page, there is a little bit there. Select your account in the top right corner and then select Edit Profile. There's a whole lot of fields there. They would really, really, really like your real world address so they can ship you all sorts of wonderful goodies. And even if they're not shipping you goodies, their accountants want you to do it anyway. So if you please do that, that's awesome. Okay, recommended projects to back. They're talking this week about The Bard's Tale 4. It's hailing from 30 years ago. The Bard's Tale put Brian Fargo into play on the map, launched a storied career crafting some of the most beloved computer role-playing games in gaming history, returning to Scarabray for the long-awaited dungeon-crawling sequel to the Bard's Tale trilogy. It's the games that helped define the genre as a single-player, party-based CRPG, dynamic phase-based combat, challenging puddles and riddles, puzzles, not puddles, and a game set to beautiful Gaelic music, where the bard's songs and melodies affect gameplay. And that, dear listeners, is the news of the week.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Good stuff.
Right on.
So exciting. And having been privy to and managed to read Star's release notes in the Dev Plus forum for release 29, I can assure everybody there's a lot of exciting stuff coming. There's a little bit of excitement and angst about one or two things, but on the whole, the reception is really good, and I think you will be very excited with what develops this week.
Yep, that'll be cool.
Yeah, so really looking forward to that.
Did either one of you kickstart the Bard's Tale?
No, it didn't.
No, I didn't either, and I wish I would have, but I don't probably didn't know about it. I missed it or whatever.
I'd have to look through I have a folder in my email that I keep all my Kickstarters that are pending in. I'd have to look, but I don't think I did either. I didn't play all the originals. I played all of them, but there's only so much time.
Yeah.
Not playing land now.
It's so hard to know what to kickstart, you know? You just don't know what's going to succeed.
That's right. And as you say, there is only so much time. If we didn't have to go to work, it'd be much better.
Yep. Although I'm sure I'd fill that time up quickly and be wishing for more.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you would.
I'm wondering on these, I was just looking through the add-ons, so I'm wondering on these plants if they're going to offer a whole set of them, because you had to buy
one. Oh, we're all in one buy, yeah.
Yeah, I like different
even
plants.
Even if it's not a discount, it just makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, because I want all the different ones. It's cool for the house, you know, it looks nice.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It'd be good if they had a bundle and they're all in together.
Yeah. Yep. They lowered the prices on a few lot deeds, too. Very cool.
Great.
Good stuff. Well, I guess that's the news for the week, isn't it?
I think it is.
I guess I'll bring us out. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Sile Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and...
Asclepius.
And
with echoes from the cabin.